Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. How can they even do business at that price? Where are you getting a lunch for 15 bucks these days? I don't know.
Boston Pizza, apparently.
Boston Pizza. Sat's mic isn't working.
My mic's not working. There we go. I fixed it. Or was it off?
He was as shocked as everybody at a $15 lunch. I know. Just doesn't happen.
I was speechless.
Where do you go?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Boston Pizza.
You go like the local sub shop.
Yeah.
Or the sub chain. After a drink and chips, you're looking at 22 bucks.
Yeah.
So, not a bad deal for Boston Pizza.
Not bad at all.
Shorts weather.
Yeah.
We are team shorts today.
Yeah.
Josh, Sat, myself.
Yeah.
All in shorts. I believe Kieran. Yep.
Also shorts.
He's shortsing it today.
Yeah.
Zach.
Zach.
Jeans.
Jeans. Oh. All right.
Yeah. Well,
Costa.
Zach is Zach's flustered today because his Senators are down 3-0.
Yeah, that's tough.
I didn't know what to do. I barely know how to dress myself.
He's like, I need to wear comfort clothing.
So today felt like the first real shorts day, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's 20 degrees out.
Like, there are days where I go out and I'm like, it's kind of chilly.
Yeah.
And I see people in like shorts and flip flops. I'm like, bro, it's too early.
No, I know.
You know, I know you want to like try to, I guess, what's the word? You know, manifest more of the warm weather, but we're not there yet.
No,
I will. You know, you're too eager.
Yeah, some people though, they just have like hotter body temperatures. Like they feel. I mean, I'm not gonna begrudge anybody.
These people set.
What?
They're too eager.
They're too eager.
They're like,
what's wrong with being eager?
Gotta let the legs breathe.
Yeah.
Bro, it's 6 degrees. It's not warm enough.
Yeah, the 6 degrees days are tough. Like even like 12. I did see one dude. It was last week. It was like 9 degrees and sunny out. And you could tell he regretted his decision.
I immediately regret this decision.
I could tell a cold face when I see one.
Yeah. It can happen too. For like, you know, you see a girl in a sundress and it's like, I don't know. I can tell you're cold right now. So it just happens to everybody. Sometimes we're a little too eager. What are you laughing at?
Oh my God. Nothing.
It happens on both sides of the court. Just
move on. I don't know how you walk yourself into trouble sometimes. But
it's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Let's get into some playoff hockey talk and with our next guest. Brought to you by Metro Ford in Port Coquitlam, it is Yannick Hansen joining us here on Canucks Central. What's happening, Yannick?
Not too much, you?
We are, enjoying some of the playoff hockey. I guess as a player, this is probably the time of year you miss the most?
Yeah, this first 2 weeks here, the first round is the best. Four games a night, most nights, competitive, trying to see where everybody pans out. Everybody normally is healthy at this point, so it is the best hockey you're going to get in the playoff as well. As the round starts to progress, you start seeing the injuries, the fatigue starts kicking in, and the hockey kind of goes down a little bit. So these first 2 weeks are the best by far.
Yeah, and and you're right. Like the body after a while breaks down. Not to say that you don't want to go on those deep playoff runs, but there's a real physical and mental toll it really takes on you every round you go, right?
It drives into the summer. So your summer gets shortened by, potentially two and a half months real fast. And then if you have any kind of recovery after that is when the issue happens. Normally, I'd take about 2 weeks off, regardless of when we end it. So if we were done now and I didn't go play World Championship for Team Denmark, I'd be back in the gym by beginning of May, which gives you a long time to get yourself ready for the next season. Where when we played all the way to Game 7 and we were done in the end of June, I didn't start my off-season training plan until July, which gives you very little time to get your body into the strength that you need to get it to last a full year. But if you have any lingers and stuff like that, your off season is gone and you have to start building in season, which is almost impossible.
We always remark about the difference in speed as soon as the playoffs start. And, you know, it's hard to, like, compare teams that aren't in the playoffs and what they were playing like, you know, like the Canucks in the final week of the season playing pretty much meaningless games, games that mean nothing in the standings versus, you know, what this is when the playoffs start. There's just an energy as a player from the fans, from just knowing that this is your season on the line now, that everybody, not one player on the ice is taking a shift off. And that's part of why the game just amps up to another level, right?
It's the mentality of the season can be over. You have four chances here, four losses before it can be over. But that's how you're playing. You're playing like this is our last game because it is getting close to being the last game if we don't win it. So the hesitation sometimes in season, the little lack of intensity, you're trying not to get hurt, so you're not going full out. Don't get me wrong here. You're in the regular season, you're probably playing 97-98%. Otherwise, you're not going to win. But in the playoff, it's 100%. Every single shift, every single check you finish. And it shows on TV. It shows on the ice, too. So you're well aware of the way it's being played because nobody lets up on you either. So if you have the puck and you chip it out or you dish it off, you're going to get the checked finish on you. And everybody knows that. And that's what kind of builds up the pace of the game, and the physicality starts to come through as well. And again, home fans tend to cheer it a little bit more in the playoffs as well. So all of these finish checks, they get a big roar from the crowd, and it just kind of builds that intensity. And it feels like the pace is quickening without maybe it being in terms of how fast the puck is moving around and the players, but just from the energy in the building.
And this is an anecdotal question. Like, I haven't looked at the trends yet, but it's something that does seem to be more common nowadays in the playoffs, at least going back to last year and this year, and even the Leafs-Sens game. The shot totals are lower and a lot lower. You see a lot of shot totals be under 20 oftentimes. Are you seeing a bit of a trend where it's even harder now to get shots through than it was before?
Blocking shot becomes a big thing as well. Nobody gets out of the way anymore. No flamingos and stuff like that.
Right.
So that's maybe one of it. Your checking becomes a little bit tighter, which means less room. Scoring tends to go down. That is because less shots on net and stuff like, although not all series, but it does become harder to score in the playoff, and that's because the chances aren't as many as you used to. The teams are closer in strength as well, so you're not seeing the really strong teams play the Canucks and have their way with them, if you will, where you're giving up 40 chance or 40 shots and 15 grade A's. So it also has to do with the playing field is a little more even now.
Yannick Hansen, our guest. So we heard Canucks management speak earlier this week, Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin, and they laid out their plan for the offseason. It's a pretty bold one. They made it obvious they're going to be out and looking for a center, but the first order of business is getting the coach done, and that is still up in the air. Are you raising any red flags here at the Canucks still not getting things done with Rick Tocchet?
Not really. There will be a coach at the bench next year. The question is, can they find the top six players that need to come in and make a difference? Because it doesn't matter who you put behind the bench. If he doesn't have the players, it'll be more of the same. So whether that's Tocchet or it's somebody else, doesn't really move the needle, in my opinion. Would I like Tocchet back? Yes, I do. I think he's done some good things for this club. But it still comes down to the players that are on the ice, and until you fix that, I'm more worried about another year like we've just seen.
Are you essentially saying the coaching decision is
a bit
overrated?
Matter.
Yeah, does it like not matter? And like, we spend so much time talking about it. Is it overrated?
Why do you think the coaches get fired and hired all the time?
Right.
Sometimes the room just need a new voice. Somebody can get fired mid-season. They're the worst team, and they end up winning at the end of the year. What changed? The guy behind the bench all of a sudden came in with a golden goose here? No, the players started playing the way they could, the way they're supposed to. And sometimes, yeah, there is some spark you can get from a new guy coming in, somebody who's getting a different opportunity. But no matter who comes into the Canucks dressing room next year, needs to get Petey going. He needs to keep on getting Quinn going. He needs to get Demko staying healthy and then adding whatever is coming. So it doesn't matter who rolls out the lines, who says they're next. If the players aren't there, it doesn't really matter. Some coaches has different systems that works in certain situations, but unless the coach is able to adapt to the players you have, it doesn't matter. We played against lots of teams when I played where they were hemmed a little bit on the salary, like Phoenix and Minnesota never really spent that much money. They were lower on the not quite cap. So again, we can't afford all these players, so we play a more defensive structure, and that's just the way. And then they had Tippett. They have in many the most boring game you could play for many years, but it worked. But that was the team they had. Now, if you take that coach and put him into an ultra-offensive team, it won't work. They have to change the way they're coaching. So as long as they can do that, it doesn't really matter who's behind the bench and who's calling it. As long as the players are there and they're performing, that's your number one.
I guess the biggest vote to keep Tocchet is from the captain himself, Quinn Hughes, who clearly is a big fan, and I guess he's got some say around these parts. And he's, you know, everything about this offseason just seems to be, okay, what are we going to do to be able to keep Quinn Hughes? Because the way Canucks management seems to look at it is, and I guess you could say this with any star player in the league, Yannick, but hey, we've got one of the top five players in the league or top 10 players in the league. As long as we have him, we should be pushing towards being a contender. And it doesn't seem like they're going to leave anything on the table at the chance of getting a potential center, no matter what that is, as far as price is concerned, as far as trades go. You know, first round pick, top prospects, doesn't seem like they're really worried about waiting on those.
I don't know about that. If anything, from Alvin's presser at the deadline, we didn't like what we were offered for Besser, so we keep him. That means that you're also not giving up whatever you like just to get the player. That there is a limit here, and I wouldn't be surprised because of you're coming out now and saying we need a top six center. 31 teams can see that even before you come out, that they have you by the neck now. They can squeeze you for whatever you want, because if you don't get a top six center in Vancouver, season is lost next year as well. Another year off Quinn Hughes, and they're not looking to do you any favors. You put yourself in a terrible position. Some of it self-inflicted, some of it not, but you put yourself in a position where you don't let go of your assets because you keep hanging all, we're almost in a playoff spot. What if we get in as a 16th with Brock Besser? So you're still probably out the first round anyways. But that's an asset you don't have to trade now for that top six center. If he walks anyways, like a second round, maybe that could have turned into something if you package with them. Right now you have nothing. So you haven't been interested in recouping assets. You've been willing to give away assets to bad trades, bad signings and stuff like that in order to get rid of your players. No problem with that. But when we have to recuperate some of these assets, it never happens here. It never happens in Vancouver. You're always holding on to the belief that just maybe we get lucky and we squeeze in. Maybe the player will re-sign and we will keep it in that way. Doesn't happen. That's kind of the theme here. Like you're never really interested in being bad enough, long enough, that you can collect enough assets that you can start building from within. You have to get lucky. And let's be honest, they got lucky with Quinn Hughes and Petey to some extent drafting them where they did, because they, looking back, they could have probably been picked before. Have we made bad draft picks? Yes. But that's where we're at. It's not like Vancouver is going to get a number one overall draft pick, surefire player that's going to come in and make a difference right away. Never happens. you have to get lucky deeper in the draft, lucky in terms of your U.S. college free agent coming in and turning out to be players, or choosing Vancouver over somebody else. Otherwise, you're hanging your hat on good luck, and it's a very hard ways to run an organization year after year after year, where you're trying to stay competitive and be competitive, because it can't be done if you can't build from within, and you can't build from within if you don't have the draft picks to build with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things too that, you know, obviously we've seen a lot of when Vancouver is it's a noisy market. There's always stuff going on. And this year has been extra noisy. And even after Rutherford spoke and mentioned the Hughes thing, there's even more noise. Do you think the Canucks are too noisy? And if you're a player on the outside, do you think it's to the detriment of the team right now, especially when they get to free agency?
That's Canada for you. It doesn't matter where you are in Canada. See, it's the number one sport. It gets all the attention, so to speak. So that's part of it. Where some of the other organizations have been okay with being bad, I'm assuming there's a lot of noise in Edmonton too, but they were terrible for a long time when we played. A long, long time. But they collected draft picks, made some terrible decision, but got lucky with McDavid and Draisaitl. And now they're carrying the team. And in the finals last year, it's one of those things where you have the appetite to be bad long enough, and you will get lucky. You will get some draft pick that can turn out to make a difference for your organization. But staying around status quo, having a good player, a phenomenal player or two, is not enough. And then you go trade your number one and number two centers for a couple of supporting cast players, hoping you will become a better team down the line. It doesn't happen like that, because you can't replace JT Miller. It doesn't matter how many third liners or third line players or number three defensemen you pick up. They will never be top of the line. They will never move the needle enough to make a difference when it matters the most, because those players, they are those players for a reason, and there aren't that many of those that goes around.
You know, there was a lot said about Elias Pettersson, and they wouldn't close the door on trading Elias Pettersson. He'd be stupid not to listen to offers, is what Patrick Alvin said, but I think they're realistic that the offer they need, or the value that they probably need in order to trade Elias Pettersson, is probably not going to be out there this summer.
Would you trade for him and give up what Vancouver is asking?
That's not
the biggest thing. Like that's the no. You're not. You're hoping somebody will do Vancouver a favor, and when has that ever happened?
Yeah.
So it's like you're saddled with him. You saddle with him in the sense that you hope that he turned out to be the player you're paying him to be. If he doesn't, if you don't think he is, you take four steps back, you trade him for whatever you can, draft picks and young players, and hope that this will turn out. But that means you're going to become a worse team. That means you're picking bottom three next year, and the year after that, and the following year, and then you're moving Quinn Hughes as well, because there's no reason to have the best defenseman in the game if you're recuperating asset for 5 years down the line. So it's two extremes you're looking at now, where if you're trading Petey, you're essentially giving up. If you trade him, you have no top six forwards like penciled in.
Yeah.
That's a scary thought, where when we started this season that has just ended, the regular season, you thought you had four legitimate top six forwards. Now, might have one.
Yeah, just Jake DeBrusk would be left over at that point, right?
That's scary.
Yeah.
And how are you going to fill all of those holes? It doesn't matter how many depth pieces you have at that point. And you have enough good players that you won't finish that low, because they'll produce enough, they'll win enough, because you don't have the appetite to be bad enough long enough to recover the draft picks, the stuff it takes to really make a difference. So you're forced to go all in. You're forced to keep moving these draft picks in order to get a second line center or a winger, or add a little bit here and there in order to just stay relevant.
Yannick, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
Yeah, you're welcome. A little dark, but
it's going to be a tricky offseason, you know. It's kind of what we're all prepared for now.
Okay.
Yeah. There he is, Yannick Hansen, joining us as he does weekly here on Canuck Central. It's a little dark. It's bright outside, though. You know, at least we got that. We got shorts weather.
We do have shorts weather, and there are people texting into our text inbox saying that, you know,
yeah,
they've been wearing shorts the whole time, and we need to lighten up a little bit.
We're getting pictures into the Dunbar Lumber text.
Somebody texted and said, "I'm a postie, and I wear shorts all year round." But yeah, you're walking around a lot, right? But nonetheless, you know, we've been talking about this on air and off air. It's difficult being optimistic.
It is.
It doesn't mean they can't figure it out, but it's difficult looking at it and saying, "Oh, there are a lot of pathways here. I'm sure they're going to figure it out." Like it's pretty perilous, and it's going to be difficult. And if they're going to do this, it's going to have to be Jim Rutherford pulling a rabbit out of a hat, kind of, you know. And do they have that in them?
Yeah, I don't think so.
We'll see.
I my confidence level is not very high right now. Honestly, you know. You could talk me into taking a chance on Trevor Zegras or Josh Norris, or I heard Randeep and Jamie today talking about Barrett Hayton, who's 20 years old, or, you know, he's 24 years old now, and he's starting to really discover a bit of a, you know, 45 points this year, 20 goals. Like, okay, talk me into it. None of those guys are a top flight center.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. Ultimately, and you know, this is the theme of the offseason, the best acquisition the Canucks could make is Elias Pettersson rediscovering himself. But my God, the risk in that is also massive. So there really are no easy answers for the Vancouver Canucks, and they're in a tough spot going into the offseason. That is obvious, and as Yannick mentioned, no, it's pretty dark right now.
Hopefully the sun brightens it up, and we see what the Canucks pull off this offseason. Are they capable of doing something like that? We have 2 months to talk about this and delve into this deeply.
Well, that's the other part. It's like, you know, as far as like a show planning goes, now every day we think about things to talk about, and it's the problem with where the team is right now is like their pathway is so narrow, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they've got like one door to getting back to be good again. Not like multiple. Mm-hmm. There isn't multiple range of outcomes here. Most of the range of outcomes are probably negative this team ends up.
Yeah. And that's why there are like a couple of paths, but they're also very difficult to pull off, right? But that's going to be what they have to do, and especially considering the hand that they are playing with, they have to do something. They've spoken about that. So I do think we're going to see the Canucks do something. The question is, does it work?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're going to sit there. What I mean is, I'm not sure they're going to be able to pull this off. Isn't that I don't think they're going to make a trade. I think they'll make a trade, at least one. I think they'll make acquisitions. They'll make moves.
And they need three forwards, so they're going to be making moves.
They're going to be making moves. The question is, are those moves going to be the right moves that put your team over the top, right? That's going to be the big challenge here. And I know organizationally, they believe the management's up to the task, and we're going to find out.
Yeah, they do need a JT Miller-type swing where, you know, you get a player for, you know, what they got JT Miller for, and he breaks out to becoming a star-level player. After being kind of a middle six type or borderline top six type that JT Miller was when he was in Tampa Bay. Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Coming up, we'll get to more of your texts and we'll get to the open as things continue to stay noisy around the Vancouver Canucks. That's next on Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.